As an observer of human behavior, I've come to the conclusion that everyone likes to be noticed. Enter almost any public setting, and you'll be in a place where that becomes obvious, huh? Have you ever people watched at the mall, or at the airport, or on the transit, when you've been on the bus? I think it's a part of human nature. There's not one of us, even in this room here this morning, that does not desire the attention of someone to some degree or another. I would guess that even the shyest person among us desires to be appreciated, desires to be acknowledged, desires to be valued by someone. However, not everyone goes about getting this attention the same way. Let me give you some examples. Some people use their quick wit and words to get noticed. My impression is, from what I've been exposed to Winston Churchill, that he took great pride in his ability to retort any criticism or insult with equal or better a comeback. Once the playwright George Bernard Shaw sent an invitation to Churchill inviting him to attend his new play. In the invitation he wrote, "I am enclosing two tickets to the first night of my new play. Bring a friend, if you have one." To which Churchill responded, "Cannot possibly attend first night. Will attend second, if there is one." Lady Astor, another member of the government and parliament, was one of his greatest antagonists. She once remarked to him at a dinner party, "Winston, if you were my husband, I would poison the coffee." To which he replied, "Madam, if I were your husband, I would drink it." Quick wit and a sharp tongue can get a lot of attention in some circles. People use different ways to draw attention to themselves. Some people try to get noticed by the car they drive. A bright red sports car with a spoiler on the back says, "Notice me, I'm cool, I'm fast." But a four-wheel drive S450 King Cab with dualies will probably get noticed by a completely different crowd, huh? Some people use their hair. A young man with an orange mohawk will get the attention of some, while a young man with a military cut will probably be noticed by others in a completely different way. Or how about the clothes people wear? What's up with the pants that hang from the thighs? I've noticed, but I don't get it. In many ways, whether we admit it or not, we all like to draw attention to ourselves. Unless we be too hard on the younger set, we who are of the older set transfer the whole need to be noticed to other things. I know of one community in which the front lawn has to be just right in order for you to get noticed. And if it's not, you will be noticed. There's pressure in all ways to draw attention to ourselves. Whether young or old, there's a tendency to present ourselves in such a way that when the attention gets put on us, we're not embarrassed, we're not put down, or out of place. But drawing attention to ourselves is not what we've been created to do. We've been created to draw attention to God. And fortunately, God uses other means than the car we drive or the hair we wear to draw attention to Himself through us. Now, in our study in the book of Acts, we come to a passage this morning that sheds light on how God wants to draw attention to Himself by using us. And it's not in the ways that we would most likely expect. Follow along as I read from Acts chapter 3. I'm going to read the first 10 verses. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man, lame from birth, was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Let me share with you three ways in which I see God drawing attention to himself in this passage. First of all, God draws attention to himself in the midst of the ordinariness of life. Now, I don't know if that's a word or not. My spell checker said it was. But I'm using it this morning because I think it helps convey ordinariness of life. Much of our life is built around the ordinary. The routine. We get up. We have our devotions. We eat breakfast. We go to work. We make phone calls. We go to appointments. We do our homework. We come home. We eat our dinner. We talk with the family. We go to a Bible study, perhaps. Or we read a book. Or we watch a little TV. We go to bed. We get up. We go have our devotions. We do breakfast. We go to work. We make appointments. On and on and on. Much of our lives is pretty routine. Pretty ordinary. Day in and day out, we do it over and over. But if we're not careful, we'll miss the opportunities in which God loves to draw attention to himself. Because God draws attention to himself in the ordinariness of life. That's what I see in this passage. It was in the ordinariness of a day that God drew attention to himself in Acts 3. It was just like many other days when Peter and John were on their way to the temple to pray. It was the ordinary time of the day. The ninth hour, 3:00 in the afternoon, our time. It was the time when many Jews went to the temple. I'm sure they were part of a stream of people walking toward the temple that day. It was no extraordinary day. It was the time of day that the lame beggar was brought to the temple gate. Verse 2 says, a man lame from birth was being carried whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple. His family and his friends, they did this every day. Brought him to the gate, laid him down there, and there he would do what he ordinarily did every day, was ask for alms. That was his routine. It was a part of his ordinary day. To him, just another ordinary day. And these three, Peter and John and the lame beggar, were not extraordinary guys. Peter and John were just a couple of uneducated fishermen. Ordinary guys who had spent time with Jesus. And they were about to encounter a pretty ordinary beggar. In fact, Luke doesn't even give us his name. We don't even know who he is by name. Talk about not getting much attention for himself. But these are the kinds of people that God loves to use. It's the ordinary nameless beggar who's been begging at this temple gate for years. He'd been lame from birth, and now, according to Acts 4:22, he's over 40 years old. Decades he's probably been sitting at this gate, day in and day out. God doesn't need, and in fact, I think He prefers not to use people who are flamboyant and sophisticated and complicated showmen to draw attention to Himself. He loves to use ordinary days and ordinary people. Even the encounter between the apostles and the beggar seems ordinary. Can't you picture it? Amidst the crowd, the lame beggar is being carried to his typical spot there at the entrance of the gate. He's situated himself on his raggy blanket or whatever, his mat that he sits on. He's got his little cup and he's holding it out. I picture him just kind of head downcast, and I hear him crying out in his hoarse, raspy voice, the same thing that he's cried out every day, day in and day out. Alms! Alms for the poor! Alms! Alms! Alms for the poor! He's tired of being ignored. I mean, I'm sure he's just kind of holding his head down, downcast. Alms! Alms for the poor! He's not expecting much in return. But it's in this moment that something extraordinary happens. The extraordinary interrupts the ordinary. God moves. And God seeks to get the attention of the beggar. Why? Because He's about to use this ordinary day with these ordinary people who are doing their ordinary thing to draw attention to His extraordinary power and His extraordinary grace and His extraordinary love. And so Peter and John say to Him, "Look at us." And with the same kind of intensity, the beggar's drawn to fix his attention upon them. And suddenly, something extraordinary took place. No longer was he being ignored and rejected. He was being singled out. And at this point, I doubt he knew what was to come. Perhaps he thought he might be hitting a financial jackpot. Who knows? Could this be it? Could this be the one? Could these be the people who really kind of fleece me here? And perhaps Peter and John wanted to see if this man would really be willing to respond to their offer. He says, they say to them, "Look at us." Whatever the case may be, their eyes locked, and God invaded the ordinary with the extraordinary. I wonder how many times we miss the extraordinary work of God in the midst of our ordinary lives around so many ordinary people. Whether we're the messenger like Peter and John or the crippled beggar, how often do we miss the opportunities that God is drawing attention to Himself and we're not looking or we're not hearing His voice say, "Look at me"? Think about it. Look for it. Where and when does God want to use you in the ordinariness of your life to draw attention to Himself? One day you may be the beggar. The other day you might be the messenger. But whatever the case may be, you were not created to draw attention just to yourself. You were created so that God could draw attention to Himself even in the ordinariness of your life. Secondly, God draws attention to Himself by overcoming crippling problems through the power of Jesus' name. Every one of us is like the cripple in some form or fashion. And we all know others who are also crippled. Everyone has something in our lives that hinders us from being the full expression of praise and honor that God deserves. We're crippled. Crippled by our sin. Crippled by our brokenness. We all fall short. We're all crippled. We're all beggars. We're all lame in some form. And we all limp along life, often begging for others to come to our aid. And like the lame man in Acts 3, we often look to the material remedies. He's begging for silver and gold. But this would not cure the ultimate problem. What God can do is draw attention to Himself by overcoming these crippling problems by the power of Jesus' name. Peter and John saw through the real heart of the need. Peter and John did not give him what he was begging for. He was poor because he couldn't work. He couldn't walk. Peter and John did not give him gold or silver, but he gave him the ability to walk. He didn't need something to soothe the consequences of his crippling problem. He needed the deeper issue to be dealt with. Great lesson. It's a great lesson for us to remember whether God uses us to address the need of the beggar or if we're the beggar crying out for help. God draws attention to Himself by overcoming crippling problems through the power of Jesus' name. This was powerfully embedded into me while we were in Zambia in January. I was working through these passages here in my own personal devotions while we were in Zambia and had an experience of a man who came begging at our door again. His name was Henry. He came asking for money so that he could buy some food because Henry needed food in order for him to take his ARVs, his antiretroviral drugs that are for those who are HIV positive. These ARVs are very strong and potent medications that have horrific side effects if you do not take them with food. How tragic, huh? When you consider that so many people in Zambia, they're HIV positive, and they have no food. The medications are available, they're free, but the food is what they need. So he came asking, he's saying, I heard that you were here and thought maybe you would be willing to give me some money so I could buy some food. And this passage was a passage that I had just been working through in my own personal devotions, and I said to him, I said, Henry, I can give you money for food. But you know what? Every one of us is going to die someday. What about you? If this medication saves your life, there may be a possibility that you could die in another form. And the reality is that you and I both, at some point in our lives, are going to die. And then what's going to happen with you then, Henry? I can give you money for your food, but what I have is more important. I want to give you something. I want to give you the knowledge that you, when you die, can be assured that you can go to heaven. Do you know that you can go to heaven, Henry? And he said to me, no, I don't know that for sure. I said, let me show you how you can know that for sure you can go to heaven. I took him to 1 John 5, which says, you know, this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son of God has life. But he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things so that you might know that you have eternal life. Henry, I want you to know, that you can have eternal life. If you have the Son, do you have the Son? No, I don't have the Son. I don't know Jesus. We talked, And we shared. And he came to the point where he said, no, I want Jesus. I want the Son. And right there on the curb of the driveway, Henry and I prayed together. And Henry accepted Jesus and he said, now I have the Son. Henry, silver and gold, I have. Silver and gold, I can give to you. But Henry, if I give you the silver and gold and you don't have Jesus, your crippling problem, the thing that's making you the beggar, is going to only become worse. But I can share with you the one. In the name of Jesus, you can overcome this crippling problem because Jesus has said that He has overcome sin and death. Even death, even what you fear the most, you can overcome through Jesus. And Henry trusted Jesus. And Henry still lives with HIV/AIDS. But I pray and encourage and hope that Henry continues to walk in his faith in Jesus, knowing that he who has the Son has life. I wonder how many times we need to consider this as a church as we continue to consider our role in mission, our role in involvement in people's lives, both here or Republic or Zambia or the Philippines or wherever God takes us, on the transit, at the workplace, in our own homes. Do we too often say to the person who's begging, please, please give me, soothe me, help me, provide what I need, and we miss the opportunity to say, I have silver and gold and I'll give it to you, or I have counseling and I'll give it to you, or I'll have whatever you're crying for and give it to you, because we have so much, but we fail to give them what they really need. They need Jesus. They need to see the power of Jesus' name at work in whatever crippling state they're in. And the same is true for us when we are the ones begging. How often do we beg for something to soothe the pain or relieve the unhappiness of our circumstances rather than begging for that which would set us free from the roots of our discontent? God in His grace spoke through Peter and John to this man. They locked eyes and faith in Jesus' name set this man free. Jesus has the authority to overcome sin. Jesus has the authority to overcome death. Jesus has done so at the cross. So every display of victory over sin, every display of victory over death, is God drawing attention to Himself and the amazing plan and the amazing work of His Son Jesus Christ. Silver and gold, medicine or therapy, a magical wave of a wand to make your pain or frustration or anxiety or fear go away, I do not have. But what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Walk out of here with peace and grace and hope. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have gained access into this grace in which we now stand through faith in Jesus Christ. Get up and walk out of here with hope, with peace, with grace. Walk out of here with strength, saying, as Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Walk out of here with courage. Be strong and courageous in the Lord, Joshua 1:9 says. Walk out of here with every need met and the assurance that God will supply your every need according to His riches in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. Walk out of here with forgiveness of sin, with your sins wiped away, as our memory verse is this week. Repent so that your sins might be wiped away, and that so times of refreshing might come from the Lord, and that He might send the Christ, even Jesus, whom He has appointed for you. We can walk out of here like the lame beggar, praising and worshiping God. And that's the third way that I see God drawing attention to Himself. It's through the worship of His people who've been set free. All the people saw Him walking and leaping and praising God. They knew who it was, and they were filled with wonder and amazement, the text says. Five times Luke says the man was either walking or leaping in these three verses. It's very clear that this was a miraculous thing. This was a God thing. Here's a man who's never walked in his life. Didn't have to go through the whole process of baby steps. I mean, it's just a miraculous thing. God did an incredible, extraordinary thing. In the ordinariness of this day, God draws attention to Himself. In the power of Jesus' name, He strengthens this man's ankle, and he leaps up. And he's walking and praising God. I mean, can you just picture it? Talk about a jackpot. For 40 years he had sat at that gate. For 40 years he drug himself from place to place. And now, God intervenes. God moves. God draws attention to Himself. And this is the one who got all the credit. The lame man praised God. And so the same ministry that had been done by Jesus was continuing through the apostles. The lame were being set free to walk and praise God. Not every work God is as spectacular as this one. But I believe God is still in the business of doing miracles. I think it was Philip Yancey who once said that a miracle is only God restoring things to the way He intended them to be in the first place. So whenever God moves and restores things to the way that He intended them to be, He's drawn attention to Himself. Because it's only God who can do those things. We, in and of ourselves, what does Jesus say? Apart from Me, you can do nothing. But when God does do something, we need to stop and say, whoa, praise God. God just intervened. In the ordinariness of my day, He just drew attention to Himself through the power of Jesus' name. Praise Him. Worship Him. Draw attention to God by the way you respond, the way you walk out of here. Be a person that says, you know, I knew Him to be a beggar before, a cripple. But look at Him. He's overcome that problem. He's overcome that issue. Look at her. Her life has been changed. And be ready to give praise to God. Walk around, leap around in your joy of what God has done in your life and demonstrate, draw attention, not to yourself, but draw attention to the power and the magnitude of God and all His grace in your life. Worship Him with your voice and with your life. We need to do a little more leaping, a little more praising, a little more active involvement, drawing attention to God in our lives. And when you see Him at work, respond with worship and praise. Because through your worship, through your praise, through your leaping and walking around in your freedom, God wants to draw attention to Himself. And all of this all of this will set you up to be a messenger of hope to those who watch. Which is exactly what happens with Peter in the next section, which we'll look at next week. Next week we'll see that Peter takes full advantage of the opportunity to explain the power of Jesus' name. And God wants you to be the vessel that He can work through as well. Whether we're the lame beggar, or whether we're the one who reaches out with a hand to another in love and in the power of Jesus' name to pull them up, to give them what they need in their deepest being. Will you be that? Will you be that for a person this week? In the ordinariness of your day and of your life and of your week, will you look for that person, that beggar, that person who's crying out for help, and will you say to them, you know, I don't have silver and gold. I don't have what you need. I don't have, but what I have is Jesus. And let me help you up. And see what God does. Keep your eyes open for God to do extraordinary things in you as you beg and through you as you become the messenger for Him. Perhaps you'll have the opportunity this week to say to someone, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Speak those words. Trust in the power of God to draw attention to Himself through you. Let's pray. Father, we ask that You would draw attention to Yourself through us. Would you use us this week in the routine of our life to show Yourself to be good and gracious and great and mighty, strong and able, freeing, true and right, pure. To be beautiful and powerful. Lord, some of us are here begging. And we're looking to all kinds of things. But I say, Lord, and I pray that Your Spirit would draw our attention to Jesus Christ this morning. And in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that we would get up and walk. We would be set free. Whatever circumstances, whatever troubles us, whatever robs us of joy and worship, God, would You set us free? Jesus, would You set us free? Lord, speak these words. Look at me into our hearts. And then would You reach down with Your mighty right hand and lift us up so that we might be people who walk out of here leaping and praising God. And that others might see us and be drawn not to us but to You and the power of Jesus. So we ask this for Your glory. Lord, reign in us. Be mighty in us. Use us, simple, ordinary, Whidbey Island folk, to draw attention to Yourself. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me as we sing closing chorus together. Lord, reign in me. Make it your prayer. Go out of here skipping. Love beats on. All the earth, You reign on high. Every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, that You reign in me again. Lord, reign in me. Reign in Your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, You are the Lord.
reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? So won't you reign in me again? So won't you reign in me again?
It's our prayer, Lord. Now we ask that you would do it by your grace, through your mercy and your kindness. Reign in us for your own glory. Draw attention to yourself through us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.